Lord, you touched us this morning. You brought us from a slumbering sleep so close to death. Unaware of the world around us, but Lord, you brought us to a conscious state. Then, Father, you navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being present and participatory in this place of praise once again. Where we are, you brought us. What we have, you gave it to us. But we know you taught us. Where we're headed, you are going to take us. For Lord, it is in you. We live, move, and have our being. And to you be the glory. Now, Father, I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength. And you are my redeemer. Send your word, Lord, as you send rain and snow from heaven to water the earth, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Father, we know that your word will come forth from you and will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Lord, make us one, pulpit and pew, that the message of your son's coming will be believed by skeptics and critics. That the world would know that you have sent your son. And your son did die. He was buried. And you raised him from the dead the third day morning. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, our comforter and keeper. Now, Father, we pray that you search every aisle, every pew, every crack and crevice of this sanctuary. Lord, even the virtual sanctuary, we pray that you will enter into the homes. Lord, the cars, the places your people may be that's tuned in and listening. They too will receive a word from you. Speak, Lord, we will hear, and we will do it for your glory and our good, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God praise. Glory to God. What an awesome God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore. What an awesome God we serve. Certainly to Pastor Emeritus Walker and to all of the preachers, the gospel to deacons and trustees, to minister wives, deacon wives, and trustee wives who have devoted us. And to this male chorus who has sang so melodiously and blessed us with song. I'm going to clean up what I've messed up. Start in my life. Over again. Is that your testimony? In other words, I'm going to do it better now that I'm saved and I'm in the Lord. Clean up where I've messed up. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. Beginning with verse 19. And we would end our reading with verse 28. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, for ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender, in the end he spoused his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto them, unto us? Their hearts failed them, and they were afraid. Amen. The word of the Lord for the people of God, the word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy and divine word. Verse 19, if you be true, if you be true. The tool of a guilty conscience. The tool of a guilty conscience. Say that with me. The tool of a guilty conscience. Amen. If you be true. Connects us with chapter 38 and how they had deceived their father in leading him to think that Joseph was dead. If you be true. That I discovered through life experiences that God has a way of testing the inner part of us. Not so much what people see, because people can see a lie. We can live a lie. But God has a way of testing the immaterial part of us. He has a way of working with our consciousness. If you be true, you will live and you will not die. It is the words of Joseph that echoes through the centuries. Even speaking in our ears this morning. Because truly, you're the only one know, and God knows, if you're true. If you be true. As we have tiptoed through the premise of Genesis, from verse or chapter 37, all the way up until now, we have been looking into the life, investigating the life of Joseph. Now we have come to a point where we have turned from investigating the life of Joseph to looking into the life of his brothers. That we have traced the tracks of his pilgrimage from being the favorite son of his father and being a boy with the favor of God upon his life that caused his brothers to hate him. For we recall the animosity and the malice that they were so out with Joseph that they saw him coming from afar and plotted his demise. Put him in a pit, set around the pit or upon the pit as they ate and talked and communed and conversed about their plans of stopping the dream of the dreamer from coming to fruition. Saw Midianites on their way into Egypt, and they sold Joseph. Thought they were getting rid of their brother. Thought they were keeping his dreams from coming to pass. Sold to the Midianites. Midianites sold him to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife lusted and longed after Joseph. Handsome fella with a caramel skin, six pack, tone brother. She got tired of just looking at him, and she desired him. One day she caught the guards and the workers of the house outside of the house, and Joseph came in the house to do his daily chores, and she went after Joseph and grabbed a hold of Joseph and wanted to pull him down on her bed, but he gave her his coat, but he didn't give her his character. And I think I need to remind you that it's all right to give up your coat, but you don't need to give up your character. And because her lust was unfulfilled, she lied on Joseph and caused Joseph to be put in prison. And it's a suffering of a different degree when you are having to be incarcerated for a crime you didn't commit. He was in prison, and he rose to second in charge over the prison. There's just something about Joseph's life that God's favor is evident in his life, because he rose to second in charge in Potiphar's house. He rose to second in charge in prison. And then there in prison, God sent unto him a baker and a butler. And they had dreams. And he interpreted their dreams, and they were released from prison. The butler was restored to the side of Pharaoh, while the baker was beheaded. And Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler remembered this young Hebrew boy who gave meaning to their dream. fetched Joseph out of prison. He was then brought before Pharaoh. He interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had two dreams, and there the dreams meant that there would be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine to follow. And Joseph rose to second in command over all Egypt. I think I need to pause to say to us, God has a way of moving us from good to great. Sometimes good can be the enemy of great, but Potiphar's house was not where God's dreams to Joseph would come to pass, because if he only would have stayed in Potiphar's house, he wouldn't have saw his brothers coming to buy grain in Egypt. So God had to move him from, shift him from Potiphar's house. And what seemed to be a demotion was a promotion. Because if God is with you and God before you, who can be against you? And God has a way of turning the good and the bad, mixing it together, and working it out for our good. And he's in Egypt now, second in command. And he saw his brothers coming from afar. He recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. A lot had changed in his life. He was no longer the 17-year-old boy that they sold to the Midianites. He was no longer that 17-year-old boy who was weak and gullible and vulnerable. He was no longer that 17-year-old boy that had that curly hair. Matter of fact, his head was bald because he was under the tradition of the Egyptians. He had no beard. Maybe just a long piece of hair under the chin. Makeup on his face. And he spoke through an interpreter. They didn't recognize him. But he recognized them. Isn't it something how you can recognize people who's doing the same thing they have always done? Isn't it something how you can recognize people who dress the same, look the same, talk the same, have the same attitude and actions? He saw them as they were in line to buy grain. The text says that he had them arrested and put in prison for 3 days. Then he communed and talked with them. And he interrogated them. And he accused them of being enemies who had come into Egypt to spy out the land, to see the nakedness of the land. And here it is in the text. He said to them, prove yourself. Prove that you are true. See, some of you, you go on what people say. You have ears, but no eyes. Prove to me that you are true. And he apprehended Simeon and held him in prison and said to his brothers, go back and take the corn. He gave all of them corn and put their money in the mouth of their sacks and sent them home to fetch their brothers. 11 brothers came into Egypt. 10 brothers were released to go home with bags of corn and restored money. Notice, first of all, the request of Joseph. Go get your brother. See, the last time Joseph was at the house, he was the youngest. And they said to Joseph that we have a younger brother. His name is Benjamin. He says, if you be true, go get your brother. That's his request. Now, notice the brothers. If you would see the guilty conscience of the brothers, they laded their asses, their donkeys, and they were traveling home. Their money is restored. And they are on their way home, and they get to a resting place, an inn. And one of the boys would feed his donkey. And so he opened the bag, opened the sack, and money. Now, you know your conscience is guilty when you are troubled over the goodness of the Lord. Oh. See, when he saw his money, his heart failed him. God won't charge you for life he will give you. They were in Egypt to receive grain so that they would live. So here is a shadow of Christ. You can't pay for life. Oh, y'all miss it. When they saw the money restored in the bag, they began to panic and their hearts began to fail them because they did not understand that you can't pay for life. That Joseph could not charge his family to live. See, there are some things that should not exchange among family. I know y'all won't say amen. You're charging your family for services. You're so money hungry that you can't do without a dime or nickel. And you got to charge for everything because you make everything about you and you getting something. You receiving something. But Joseph says, I can't charge my brothers. Regardless of how they have been toward him and regardless of how they have treated him, he restored their money. Now, his brothers didn't have the same response. They didn't have a response of appreciation. They were fearful because they remembered how they treated Joseph. Now, they didn't know they were looking at Joseph. They didn't know they were interacting with Joseph. They didn't know that it was Joseph. But their conscience. You know, people with a guilty conscience think everybody's out to get them. Boy, y'all quiet this morning. They think everybody is out to get them. It may be they want everybody to be like they are. And because they don't trust themselves, they don't trust other people. And even the good that people will do for them and do to them, they think it's a setup to get them back. Y'all help me preach. Look at somebody and say, everybody ain't like you. Everybody's not out to get you. God has people strategically placed on your path to be a blessing to you. And you got to know how to receive the blessings of the Lord. Opened the sack and said, what is this that has befallen us? God is dealing with us in regards to how we have treated our brother. Listen, you better think, and thinking will make you thank God that He's not trying to get you back. You better think, get your thinking right. God is not trying to get you back. He's blessing you in spite of you. See, that's grace. God giving you what you don't deserve. And you have to learn to appreciate grace. They were afraid. Fear grabbed their hearts because they remembered how they treated their brother Joseph. Now, here it is 20 to 22 years later, and they're still thinking on how they treated Joseph. You know, I told you that a few Sundays ago, God won't let you forget some things. He won't let you forget how others have treated you and how you have treated others. Go get your brother. If you be true now, if truth is in your lips, prove it. You restored their money. Restoration bothered them to the point that their hearts failed them. In other words, they were guilt-stricken. They perceived good as a bad intention. They perceived it as a setup. He's trying to get us. He's trying to lure us into a trap. So they went home and they had to report to their father. But now, nowhere in the report did they come clean. About what they had done 22 years prior.
But they had to report. They said to their father, we got down there and we bought grain. And evidently the father had to ask about Simeon. And Simeon is in prison in Egypt. And they said, well, in order for us to get more grain and live, and in order for us to save Simeon, we got to carry back with us Benjamin. Now Jacob is about to fall apart because he had lost his son, Joseph. And now they want the youngest boy, Benjamin. And in order for all of us to live, we got to give up Benjamin. We got to give up to what I love so. Isn't that like God? God wants to know how much you love him. If you love him more than you love your children, if you love him more than you love your spouse, if you love him more than you love your possessions, if you love him more than you love life itself, give him up to live. And it's more than a speech, he says, if you be true. You're saying one thing, I want to see if you can live up to it. Bring the boy. God is speaking in here. See, you love to talk about how you love the Lord and what you're willing to do and what you're willing to give up. You know, we love to say, for God we live and for God I'll die. Let's see. I'll give up everything to be with the Lord. Let's see. See, it's good said when things are up on the mountaintop. But what is that rhetoric? What is that speech like when you're down in the valley and God is testing your mere words to see if you be true? If you be true, bring the boy. And Jacob began to express himself. He says, I've lost one son. I barely made it through experience. I don't know if I can lose another. If they take Benjamin and I lose Benjamin, I'm going to die. Sometimes you got to give up what you think is the reason for your living to live. See, some of you think the reason for your living is your job. Sometimes you think the reason for your living is your spouse and your children. Sometimes you got to offer that up to live. Come here, Abraham. Abraham was commanded to go to Mount Moriah and offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And listen, when he got up to that mountain, he and Isaac went up that mountain and God had it fixed because he was willing to kill his boy at the command of God. But God don't want a human sacrifice outside of his son. When Abraham drew the sword of the spear to kill his son, there was a ram caught in the bush. Y'all know who that ram is. That ram is Jesus Christ. That Jesus will step into place and give his life and die on a hill called Calvary so that we can live. Hey! Thank you for life. Sometimes you got to give up what you think is the reason for your living to experience true life in the Lord. Send the boy. Daddy, you got to give him up. If you don't give him up, he's going to die. You're going to die. We're going to die. You got to give him up. Daddy, we stand a greater chance of living. if you send Benjamin. Never opened their mouth about Joseph. Never said to their father, we sold him. He was grieved. And his sons wasn't even touched and bothered by his grief. And now the youngest is asked for. They still said nothing. Oh, I feel something coming up on me here. I hear some of you. Pastor, some of the things I've done, I'm going to take to the grave with me. I'm not going to tell anyone but the good Lord. You carrying around all of that guilt. Can't smile. Can't enjoy yourself anywhere because you think someone is finding out about you. And your conscience makes you feel that other folk know. Well, I should have saved this sermon for next Sunday. And every good that happens to you, you think is a setup. You think people are luring you into a trap because your conscience is guilty. But you won't say nothing to free yourself. They were silent, but they were suffering. They said nothing to the father about Joseph. And listen, a portion of Joseph's dream has come to pass. They were in Egypt in his presence, and 11 brothers bowed. A portion of his dream has come true. What they thought they could stop was coming to pass. Now, God will bless you in front of people who have vowed to stop you. And what God wants to do, he wants to bless you to showcase to them that they can't stop him. And while Joseph is enjoying the blessings, his brothers are being tormented within. Your blessings, God's blessings upon your life, torment your enemies. Listen, everybody can't shout with you now. Stop putting that stuff on Facebook and expecting everybody to give a thumbs up because you got that new Toyota Corolla. Don't think everybody's going to shout because you got that new Toyota Corolla. Some folk got a frowning face. Putting your house on that show in every room. Get to work and folks work with you won't speak to you. Come off of that. Stop putting all that stuff on there. I'm trying to help you now. I'm trying to help you. You know, you've been bragging and you've been boasting about how good the Lord is. And you've been showing everything. Every time you get a new outfit, there you go looking and styling on Facebook. You better come off of there, because everybody's not happy about you being able to get your nails done and your hair done and having a new wardrobe on. You better come off of Facebook. Everybody's not happy because you graduated. You didn't endure those years of study and rigor and matriculation, and everybody's not happy. You're on there with that big old degree in front of you. Joseph was enjoying the blessing, and his brothers were tormented within. Listen, I'm done. When God liberates you within, when you have the peace of God, He gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. He gives you peace that serves as a sentinel that guards your mind. He blesses you and He gives you peace with it. He was blessing Joseph's brothers, and they were anguished. They were bothered by the blessings. When they opened the sacks, their corns were restored. In chapter 37, they sold Joseph for 30 shekels. Of silver. Some of the money that they took into Egypt to buy corn. Joseph restored their money. Sometimes God will make you look at what you sold folks out for. Boy, I got to quit. The few corns they sold Joseph for was restored in their sacks. And when they opened the sacks, they had to look at some of the money that they sold him for. Come here, Judas. See, Judas sold out Jesus. And after he sold them out, he tried to return the coins to the religious leaders. And God made him look at it. He'll point at it and make you look at what you have done as a constant reminder of what you don't need to do again. It bothered Judas so that Judas bought a field and he hanged himself in the field. When all he had to do is repent. And sometimes our hearts are so cold and callous that that we'll do everything but repent. And the reason we won't repent is because we don't want to see ourselves as wrong. And I'm sorry cannot come from the lips of a person who doesn't see themselves as guilty. On the way home, mess around and open the sack. And it was a rough trip all the way home. They had to sit there and contemplate and think about, discuss what they had done to Joseph. You better thank God for a sensitive conscience, that your conscience has not been seared as with a hot iron. But there's a soft part of you that will cause you to fall on your knees in repentance and get it right with your fellow man and get it right with God. Listen, Jesus is a type of Joseph that he says to us by way of the text, you can't pay for what I'm willing to die, get up, and give you. You can't buy life. He gives it to you. I want you to look in your bags now and see that your coins have been restored. Can you shout over restored coins? The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him we owe. We can't pay for, we can't buy, we can't purchase life. Life is in Christ. And in Christ alone. And he gives it to us freely. If you're here today and you're not saved, come receive life. Live. By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Come. You can be saved if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing that he died and God raised him from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here today and you need to be restored, come. He will restore you. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church in your heart and in your spirit to be a faith family, to be your place, to be among people who will help shape, mold, make, and edify you. Come today. Salvation, restoration, faith family. Come on. Jesus. Come on. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Thank you.
Come on, the door. The doors of the Lord. Come on. Salvation. Restoration. Faith. What's his name? Long and long and long. Come on, the doors, the doors, the doors. Lord, what's his name?
Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus.
Come on, the doors, the doors, the doors. Come on, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not gone. Come on. Savior, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Sister Kim, who do you have?
Pastor, we have Reverend James Dunn and his wife, Austria Dunn.
Amen. 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 You know you're saved. You've already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as the captain and caretaker of your soul. If you want to reunite with the New Bethlehem Baptist Church as members. Amen. Listen, we receive. We receive you. We want you to be a part of our orientation, just to be assimilated, to let you know our doctrinal stance in terms of salvation, fellowship, giving, and the Bible. And so will you agree to be a part of our orientation classes for 4 weeks? Amen. Amen. After the classes, we will welcome you fully into the New Bethlehem Baptist Church. Come on, bless the Lord for the Don, Reverend Don. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. God is good.
Yes,
he is. He's worthy to be praised. Yes. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. Listen, let us not forget about 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock this evening. Matthew's 25 house, again, Reverend Woods is preaching. And we're excited about what God is doing with us and through us for his glory. Listen to all of our guests, we ask that you would come down this way after benediction. Let me fellowship with you and just converse with you a little. And we thank God for your presence. We pray that something has been said and done that will have a profound impact upon your life, that your life never be the same. In Jesus' name. We thank God for those who were baptized earlier. Listen, they were baptized, they were buried and raised in his likeness. And certainly we thank God for giving them new life. Amen. This is the first day of the rest of their lives with the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. All right. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say, Amen.
Amen. Amen.